From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. 24 hours after the news began to break, Blacksburg, Virginia is still in shock from its wounds, and so is much of the country. We'll cover the worst mass shooting in American history today with stories of suffering and loss and heroism, and we'll bring you what we know so far and the many questions that remain.
The shooter has been identified. He was 23-year-old Korean immigrant Sung Hui Cho. Joining us from Blacksburg is NPR's Dina Temple-Ralston, who covers the FBI for us. And Dina, tell us what you know about the shooter.
Well, he's a South Korean permanent resident here in America. His parents live in Centerville, and he was a senior at Virginia Tech, an English major, apparently. And we're trying to find out whether he lived on campus or off campus. The information there is a little bit sketchy.
The ballistics, I understand, are back today about the gun or guns that were used. And tell us more about that. What does it say?
Well, the ballistics were very important for one particular reason, and that was that there were two shootings at Virginia Tech. There was a shooting in the morning at about 7 in the morning at a dormitory, and then there was another shooting 2 hours later, the one in which we had such an enormous casualty rate 2 hours later. And it was unclear whether those shootings were linked. According to FBI sources I talked to today, the ballistics matched the Glock 9mm casing at both locations. So the shooting was definitely linked. There could have been a chain that was found in both locations as well, and I'm still trying to confirm that. But apparently Cho had chained the main doors of the Norris engineering building to keep the students inside. And apparently there was also a similar chain found in the dormitory. But again, we're trying to confirm that. And Cho's prints were also found on both guns that were found at the scene. What we don't know and don't understand yet is we know that the guns were bought legally, but for some reason someone filed the serial numbers off the guns. We're still following that up.
Dina, when this story began breaking yesterday, after the first set of shootings, a police said that they were looking for, or perhaps even had in custody, a person of interest that they were talking to. Who is that person, and what happened to him or her?
That person is still in the mix, and we don't know what his name is. What we do know is that he was an acquaintance of the girl in the dormitory who was shot. There were two people shot in the dormitory. I talked to some eyewitnesses yesterday, and they said that there was a fight that was going on between a girl and presumably her boyfriend, and the resident assistant there, or resident advisor, the RA, tried to break up that fight. And then gunshots were fired. The girl was killed, and so was the young RA. And police immediately went to go and search for this person of interest, and actually was interviewing this person when the second round of shooting, the 9 a.m. shooting in the Norris engineering building, began.
Well, what is the FBI doing now? Where do things stand?
Well, they're still identifying all the victims and getting those things out and notifying next of kin. But the next big step, the thing that they think will yield the most information, is the computer. They are looking at Cho's computer. First of all, the first thing they look for is threats that might be outstanding, whether or not this is part of a larger plan that other threats could happen. Once they find out that that isn't going on, they take the computer to this regional computer forensic lab, and probably they'll take it to the one in Quantico, and they'll try and pull up everything they can on the computer. What they really want is a diary. They haven't found that yet, but sources are telling me that they found a rambling letter of some sort, and it's unclear if that was handwritten or if that was actually on the computer.
Dina Temple-Ralston speaking with us from NPR. Thank you, Dina.
It's my pleasure.
And for more on Cho, the shooter, we turn now to Donald Kirk in Seoul, South Korea. He's a correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, and he's written a number of books. Welcome to the program.
Right. Glad to be with you, although I'm sorry on such a story as this, but anyway.
Well, Sung Hui Cho, an immigrant from South Korea, tell us more about what you know about him and his family when they came to the United States.
Well, they came to the States, according to a Korean government official to whom I spoke, in 1992. But we still don't have a fix on what part of Korea they're from or what's their background. it's well known by now that they, that the family is living in Centerville, Virginia. But beyond that, I don't know, and it hasn't been reported yet here. What is their background injury, or indeed what his parents are doing in the States?
And what has been the reaction there in South Korea? How has the government responded to the news?
There are two basic reactions. One is complete shock and horror over what happened and over Koreans' involvement. And the second reaction is concern about possible reprisals against Koreans living in the States. More than 1 million Koreans. I've heard as high as 2 million, but I suppose the official figure is 1.2 million. 1.2 million Koreans live in the States. Nearly 100,000 Koreans are at American universities, 93,000 at last report, and that is by far the largest single national grouping at American universities, outstripping three other Asian countries, India, China, and Japan, and reflects the importance that Koreans attach to American education, particularly in areas such as engineering. Now, Mr. Cho was not an engineer. He was an English major, but he was at Virginia Tech, which is a prestigious engineering institution. So, and I don't know. It's not clear to me if he was just an English major, whether he was also studying engineering and architecture, for which Virginia Tech is well known. But anyway, there's great concern here on an official level about how Americans will respond to the Korean minority in the States, and especially Koreans on American campuses.
Don Kirk, what about the role of guns in South? Aren't guns illegal in South Korea? Possession of personal handguns, rifles, perhaps even.
Yes, right. There are no personal handguns in South Korea. You don't hear of. You hear hardly any, I won't say never, never say never, but you hear hardly any holdups and so forth in which guns are involved. You hear of knifings and you hear of fighting, a lot of fighting going on. It's a very, emotional society. But you don't hear of guns being used here in South Korea. That's extremely unusual. Incidentally, there were more than 400 Korean students at Virginia Tech. And one of them was quoted as saying after the revelation of Cho's name, but originally one of them was quoted as saying, well, couldn't have been a Korean because we don't carry weapons.
Don Kirk, thank you. Don Kirk, author and longtime reporter for the Christian Science Monitor in Seoul, South Korea. Thank you, Don.
Right, you're welcome.